everyone. Welcome to another fabulous episode of Chica Travel. My name is Lelo B, and this week's episode of SA's number one travel podcast is proudly powered by Flight Center. I think I say this about most of my episodes, but honestly, this is one of my absolute favorites. And it's because we are talking about Namibia, a bucket list destination that I was only too happy to tick off my list. And I don't think I'm done with it though, because I'm already planning a return trip with my friends early next year, and I will tell you why. We've been pandemicking so hard, you know, sanitizing diligently, running back to the house to get forgotten masks, living like it's still level 5. Well done, South Africa, for making it this far. We cannot change everything that has happened over the past couple of months, but we do get to hit the reset button and make some new travel memories with the ones we love. It's almost December, meaning it's time to reconnect with our favorite destinations. And this entire episode is about why you should consider Namibia in your planning. If you're thinking of going to Namibia, in terms of COVID protocols, you don't need to be vaccinated to travel to Namibia. All you need is a negative PCR test. And because this was my first international trip since COVID, I wasn't quite sure where I needed to go to get a test done. So I asked one of my friends, and she actually told me about a mobile testing service where the healthcare professional comes to your house to come and do the test. How convenient is that? So I booked this via their WhatsApp line, and they came to my house. I got my test results via email the next day. It was just a simple as that. So that's my tip of the week for you. See, I can't bear in gifts this week. You can check them out on travac.co.za. So it's travac.co.za if you want to book your mobile COVID test. Now, about my trip. I visited Namibia for 7 days last month, and it was quite a jam-packed trip. Our host really wanted us to see all the highlights, and my guest this week is actually one of the people that took care of us while we were in Namibia, and I'm really, really grateful that he made the time. We visited Windhoek, which to me felt like I was in Joburg, and we were really only there for a meeting, so we didn't get to do any touristy things. I'm not quite sure what touristy things are there in Windhoek, but if you're looking for the nightlife in Namibia, I think it would be the right place to go. Plus, I saw that they've got some really, really amazing hotels. So after Windhoek, we drove to Sestrum and stayed at one of the most beautiful lodges I have ever seen, which was Kwesi Dunes. It's in the Namibrand Nature Reserve, which is close to Sources Vlei, because we wanted to go to Sources Vlei to go see the dead vlei, you know, those beautiful dead trees, which are surrounded by those majestic dunes. Big Daddy is also there. We also saw the Sestrum Canyon before driving to Swakopmund and Walvis Bay, where we got to do a living desert tour, as well as visit Sandwich Harbour. Now, Sandwich Harbour was my ultimate highlight for this entire trip, and Kenneth, my guest, is going to tell you why. And our last stop before flying back home was, an 8-hour drive up north to Skeleton Coast, where we got to stay at another stunning location, the Shipwreck Lodge. I loved it. And I have posted it on my Instagram, so you can go check it out and just see how beautiful it is. I really enjoyed myself in Namibia, guys. And you will hear from my conversation with Kenneth that, man, we have been missing out. So here's my conversation with Kenneth, powered by Flight Center. Hello, Kenneth. Welcome to the Chica Travel Podcast.
Hi. How are you, my dear?
I am good, and I'm so happy to be talking to you because you were one of our hosts in Namibia recently, and we had an amazing, amazing time.
Likewise, my dear. I'm glad that I'm happy that I'm speaking to you again. You are really a fun group of people that came to visit our beautiful country, Namibia, and I honestly had some great, great, great time with you guys.
Awesome, awesome. We also had a good time. But now you run a business in Namibia called Sandwich Dune Tours. What do you guys do?
All right. Sandwich Dune Tours and Safaris is a tour operating company in Walvis Bay. We are based in Walvis Bay. It's a Namibian-owned company owned by myself and my wife, Helga. Our company mainly does tours around Walvis Bay, you know, to areas like Sandwich Harbour. We do, your dolphin boat cruises. We also in connection with other companies that we cater for, like, you know, your quad biking. So your activities basically around the coastal areas is what we cover for. But we also started doing tailor-made tours. You know, we took over the company in 2018. Before, I used to work for the company as a tour guide and manage the company as well. When we took over the company in 2018, we started doing tailor-made tours, you know, where we do packages for our clients. You know, we find different variety of clients in different group levels. You know, you find your small packages, your medium packages, your clientele packages. So we made tailor-made packages for tours around Namibia, you know, visiting different areas of Namibia, mostly the most visited areas around Namibia, you know. So, yeah, that's what we basically are.
Awesome. And when you look at the type of clients that you guys get, where are they usually from?
Most of our clients are from Europe. You know, most clients that visit Namibia are mainly from your parts of Europe, like Germany, France. But we've been having a lot of, you know, changes in clients coming from, you know, other parts of Europe, like Eastern Europe. We started getting a lot of Polish clients, with a lot of clients from Russia as well. So Namibia is becoming very famous in those parts of Europe as well, most Eastern Europe countries. You know, we had clients as well as from, you know, North America part, but not that much. But, you know, it's starting to get a little bit, starting to get famous in parts of North America as well. But let me say in a nutshell, Europe, when you come to Africa, you know, our highest clientele obviously will be countries like Botswana, will be countries like, you know, our South Africa. You know, mainly December holidays, a lot of South Africans come through to Namibia, and a lot of guys from Botswana come through to Namibia. So yeah, those are the areas where we get our clients from.
So when they come to Namibia in December, especially the people from Botswana and South Africa, what are they doing there? Because I heard that Namibia is like very hot around December time.
Yeah. All right. December is, you know, is our summer season as South Africa and Botswana as well. You know, people from Botswana mainly come to Namibia. There's a lot of activities for them to do when they come to Namibia. You know, they do this. They love doing Sandwich Harbor because they don't have dunes in Botswana. Although the Kalahari Desert is part of Botswana, the Kalahari Desert doesn't have any dunes. And, you know, Botswana is a landlocked country, so they don't have any ocean. So Namibia is like a little paradise for them when they come down here. There's a lot of activities that we book them for, you know, mainly our Sandwich Harbor activities, the dolphin boat cruise activities. They do kayaking. They do quad biking. They do camel riding. We take them to the largest seal colony in Namibia, which is north of Swakopmund, at a place called Cape Cross. There's also an area called the Dead Sea where you can float, of, you know, because of the high density of salt in the water, little lake there. People from South Africa, exactly. You missed that one. Maybe next time you come in. All right, guys, people from South Africa mainly come here for fishing excursions or fishing tours, you know, fishing trips. But when they have time off from fish. Yeah, boy, you know.
And I think
we don't like water.
I think also what I heard is that the majority of South Africans that come to Namibia are white South Africans and less of us, the black people.
100%. You know, white South Africans have been exploring Namibia greatly, not actually just coastal areas of Namibia. You know, they like doing off-roading. So when they come, you know, they travel through the Northern Cape, Aramsvlei entrance or North Uber entrance, and they start touring us from, you know, the Fish River Canyon. We have the largest canyon in the world, which is called the Fish River Canyon. From there, they travel up to Sossusvlei, where they look at the beautiful dunes in Sossusvlei and, you know, do part of the activities in Sossusvlei before they head to the coast. So they do a little mini southern tour before heading out to the western coast of Namibia. But what they mainly come and do here is come and catch fish. You know, there's a lot of fish in our oceans, different types of fish. And at that time, it's the Kapalio run. So they have a lot of Kapalio stienbras that they come and catch around here. I just have a ball of a time. You know, Namibians love the outdoor life. The Namibians life, you know, your barbecue, bijlees, and poikikos, and you know, those are the things that white South Africans enjoy here. You know, the safety as well in our country is a big aspect for tourists. So yeah, those are the main thing that they come and do around about here. But going back to our own people, you know, the black South Africans started exploring Namibia. For them, you know, South Africa is a big hype of movement and too many activities, and some people want to just unwind and come and relax. So I had a few of our own people coming from South Africa. You know, you find direct flights from Joburg or from Cape Town straight to Wolfish Bay. They want a small weekend away, so there's a lot of activities to do for them here and just relax and do activities and just unwind from the busy life of Jozi and Cape Town and, you know, part of those bigger towns and cities in South Africa.
And the one thing about coming to, and I've been calling it Walvis Bay. Apparently, it's not Walvis Bay, everyone. It's Walvis. It's an Afrikaans
Walvis Bay.
Walvis Bay. I learned something when I was in Namibia.
Exactly.
So one thing I about coming there though is that your guys, you can't be swimming in that ocean because that water is like icy cold.
Yeah, our water comes, you know, our current comes from the Benguela current, which is a very cold current. Our water mainly is around about 10, 11 degrees Celsius. You know, it doesn't matter how hot it is in the coastal areas. I mean, I remember a few months ago we hit high hot temperatures up to 45 degrees Celsius. It was cooking, blazing. I felt like I was in Upington that day, you know, or those weeks. So, but our water remained cold. But you know, these famous fishing, I mean, not fishing, but swimming areas where we go and swim regardless of what the weather is, you know. But I know you were scared of the cold water. You're a typical black lady.
Yo, but I need to tell people when I can, because when I packed for this trip, I was thinking desert. I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking, ah, man, it's Namibia, yeah, it's hot. And then I get to the coast, like Sokopmund, Walvis Bay, and hi, Shemi, I was
Wolfish
leaving
Bay,
my
yeah.
ass off. It
Yeah, no. One thing about what we always advise clients when you come to the coastal areas, prepare all seasons. You know, when you get your little bikinis, shorties, and get your, you know, nice lekker warm jackets, because we got four seasons in one day here. You know, we
was
have the sun, we have the mist, we have the fog, and then we have a beautiful blue sky. And it's just, but you know, you find a lot of amazing weather in Wolfish Bay, mainly because we get more sun here than Swakopmund. The only thing that is unpleasant about Wolfish Bay is obviously the wind, because we're surrounded by sand dunes, and sometimes when the wind blows, it's a little bit of a small mini sandstorm. But you know, it's good for your face. It's a nice facial scrub. It's a natural facial scrub.
Yo, a free facial. Yes.
Exactly, yeah. On a rainy day.
Okay. Yeah. So Kenneth, I know there's lots to see and do in Namibia, but what would you suggest as must do highlights for a first timer who has 7 days to spend in Namibia? Now, this person has quite a bit of a budget. So I don't know, what would you say are the must do highlights if I've got 7 days to spend in Namibia? And not 7 days like our 7 days was packed, but a proper like chilled 7 day holiday.
Well, what we normally do, we have different packages that we offer. We have our 7 day packages, 12 day, you know, it goes according to what the client wants. For a first timer, we've got 7 days, which is really less to visit Namibia. You need actually more than that.
I agree.
For 7 days, I would suggest that, yeah, you suggest that you do Sossusvlei, Vlei, which is in the south of Namibia, where you find most of the high dunes in Sossusvlei. There's a lot of type of activities that you can do there, you know, like go to the Dead Valley and see the dead trees, old trees around Dead Valley. You know, climb one of the highest dunes there, which is Big Daddy. I hope you did
It
that as
did.
well.
I did. There was no time. I wanted to. There was no time. I'm kidding. I would not have gone up there. It was so hot.
Yeah. All right. From there, you travel down to the coastal areas of Namibia, which is Wolfish Bay, Swakopmund. We spend another probably 2 days here, whereby you know, do your local activities like your sandwich harbor, your boat cruise. You can do the living desert tours and learn about the little five that lives in the desert, you know, do quad bikings and just unwind and relax and enjoy our desert. You know, we proceed normally from Sokopun Wolfish Bay. We proceed for They say day 5 and 6, we proceed to Etosha. It's one of the must-see areas in Namibia. It's one of the biggest parks in Namibia as well, where you find a variety of animals, your elephants, your giraffes, your lions, you know. So that's the packages we offer for those 7-day tours. So you get to see the south of Namibia. You get to see the coastal areas of Namibia. You get to see the north central part of Namibia, which is Etosha National Park. So it is a hype of 7 days activity that you can cover a lot of activities, see a lot of animals in those 7 days.
So now, Kenneth, I hope I'm not putting you on the spot with this question, but what you've just described now, if I want to experience all of that and for that 7 days, what's the minimum budget that I should at least have in my pocket?
Look, what we do is when we make tailor-made packages like this one, like the 7-day packages, is we cover all costs in these packages. That's your pickup from the airport, your accommodation in Windhoek, your meals, your transfers to Sources Play, your activities there, your park fees, and then from there you travel to Wolfish Bay, do the activities here, and go to Etosha. We're talking about plus minus starting capital for a single tourist or a solo tourist, around about 17,000 or 17,000 rand, so Namibian dollars, you know, in that range for a solo traveler. You know, it might sound like too much.
No, it actually doesn't sound like it's too much, because thinking this is 7 days and it includes activities. And does it include accommodation or no?
Yeah, it includes your accommodation. It includes your vehicle. It includes your guided tour. It includes your meals. So this is a whole tailor-made package. You just come with your Louis Vuitton luggage, get into a nice Fortuna, get a good guide like Kenneth, and have a fun 7 days around Namibia, you know. So yeah,
that is not a bad price at all. That is actually really good, given what I've seen. And when you say it includes meals, does it include my Kapana experience?
Okay. obviously, it will include your Kapana experience at where we were, like, you know, it was like Strand Hotel. So we give an option of whereby, you know, either we include dinner in the package, or the client wants to pay his own dinner. You know, so it definitely does include the Kapana experience. Yes.
Please tell people what is the Kapana experience, because that was one of my highlights.
All right. Kapana is it's a local word that we use. Basically, it's a township market. It started from the township markets like in Katutura, where the black people live. It's like a sisa nyama thing in South Africa, you know, whereby people get fresh meat from farms, you know, beef, and it's cut in little stripes, and it's put on the barbecue stand where it's cut in little blocks, and you eat from the barbecue stand with your little Kapana spice, which is barbecue spice. So they make like salsa sauce for you. And, you know, if you want some greens, you got your greens there, pap and flesh, a nice, Sisanyama experience in Namibia.
Yeah, no, it is lovely. And I think everyone who comes should definitely try it. And just talking about food in Namibia, what's like a typical Namibian thing to eat? Is it beef? Is that the one thing you guys eat, or what else?
Namibians are crazy about meat. We are mini carnivores here in Namibia. You know, our typical dish will be your pap and vleis, or a nice barbecue with some little roasted broiki, you know, little roasted bread. But we are all about our beef, you know, we love our beef. In fact, Namibia is one of those top countries, if not the top exporting country of beef in Southern Africa. Our beef is A plus grade beef. So yeah, we will about our meat. We love our meat.
Yeah, I know, definitely. And I loved it. Yeah. It was just delicious. So just talk a bit about Sandwich Harbour, the special, cause that was, I think Sandwich Harbour was like, cause you kept, every time we kept saying wow on the way there, you were just saying, this is nothing. Wait till you get too, you know, this part of Sandwich Harbour.
Yeah.
So tell everyone. Yeah, and when we got to that part, I was like, oh my God, this is the most beautiful thing I have ever seen in my life. So just tell everyone what Sandwich Harbour is and why it's so special.
All right. Sandwich Harbour is, it's a place called south of Walfish Bay, around about 60 kilometers south of Walfish Bay. Sandwich Harbour is an area also that is under the UNESCO. It's also under UNESCO. Mm. It's also one of those, one of the most important areas in Namibia. Sandwich Harbour basically is famously known because of its dunes and the Atlantic Ocean. It's the only place in the world for hundreds of kilometers where the Atlantic Ocean and the oldest desert in the world, which is Namib Desert, meets. Mm. So that makes it very special. It's also part of the World Heritage Sites. We got, I think, 3 or 2 World Heritage Sites in Namibia, Sandwich Harbour being one of them as well. What makes this place spectacular, or what makes it breathtaking, is the scenery, the view of the oceans and the desert meeting. And, you know, you find the lagoon in Sandwich Harbour, which, you know, if you stand on top of the lagoon, you see this beautiful lagoon that is, you know, it looks like it's going into the ocean, or it's meeting the ocean, but it's just the view is just amazing. You know, we obviously did some dune drivings in the Sandwich Harbour, where we call it the roller coaster rides, which you probably did with your eyes closed most of the time. What makes it special is just it's one of those places where you need, when you want calmness in your soul, when you want to, you know, just get away from the world, that's the right place to visit because of the spectacular view, the dunes, the surroundings, you know, landscaping is very beautiful. So yeah, it's a magical place, definitely.
So yeah, and this is one of those places that you have to do with a guide. You can't go on your own and just drive in your own car.
100%.
Because you need a 4x4 and an experienced person to drive in those dunes.
Definitely. Yeah. Our Sandwich Harbour dunes are one of the highest dunes in Namibia that we have as well. You know, it's shifting dunes, so it's not every day, especially when it changes the shapes of the dunes and stuff like that. We as guides have been driving there for years. We got very good knowledge of the area and experience of driving in the dunes. You know, it's just not deflating your tires, putting your car in 4x4 and you hit the road into Sandwich Harbour or into the dunes of Sandwich Harbour. You know, you find slip face dunes where you go like 60 degrees down a dune, which is roughly nearly 200 meters high. And one needs to have experiences. If your cars move side to side, what will you do? So it's only for the experience, like Kenneth over here. We know the area very well.
Yeah.
We'll bring you back in one piece for you to have like a pana for dinner and all that, you know. So yeah, don't try this. As they say in the movies, don't try this at home, you know. except for that, if you find those clients that want to have an experience of driving in the dunes, we do what we call self-drives, obviously, whereby you come with your vehicle, you know, and you drive behind us. We guide you into the park. We guide you into areas where the dunes are not as high as the ones that we did when you were here. So you could have that off-road experience of driving in the dunes and driving in the areas of Sandwich Harbour. So we also cater for that, you know. So if you have your own 4x4 and you want to have that experience, we do what we call guided tours, and you drive behind us and we lead you, you know, we teach you the tricks and everything in Sandwich Harbour.
Awesome. And then just speaking of the 4x4, there's one of my listeners who sent a question saying that they've been allocated a Toyota Fortuner for collection in Namibia when they land, and they'll be going to Desert Grace. I don't know what Desert Grace is. Maybe you know. And she was asking if the car is suitable for that drive.
100%. Toyota Fortuners are most of the vehicles that are used by rental companies, are most of the vehicles that are used by us as tour operators as well. They are 4x4s. They have a great ground clearance. It's basically a SUV or a Hilux SUV, as you may say, you know, the luxury is the Hilux. But it's a very good off-road car. It's reliable. It's good on fuel. It's a very strong car. You can take it off road. You can do it on road. You can go with it into the desert. So it is a great car to tour around with Namibia. Definitely. I'll recommend it with 5 stars.
Okay. All right. And then on the Sandwich Harbour, just one question there. If the person decides to fly to Walvis Bay for the weekend and they just want to do their own thing, but they want to use you to go to Sandwich Harbour maybe on the weekend and have, you know, that nice lunch experience that we had when we came down from the dunes. That was amazing. So if for an experience like that, just going to Sandwich Harbour on a Saturday and then having that lunch down there, what would that cost? Sorry to ask about money, but my listeners want to know about money.
All right. Yeah, the Benjamins. We got different prices, that we have. We got our local Namibian prices. That's for the local Namibians. Why we started making local prices was because we wanted Namibians, I just need to explain before I give you your prices. We wanted Namibians to experience their own country, also experience what international and SADC residents or African residents, guests come and experience in their own country. So we make different prices. Our Namibian prices will be normally $950 per person. That includes the whole 4 hour, 4.5 hour experience, the Sandwich Harbour, the picnic, and the whole works. Then we have our SADC prices, which is 1,300. That's for SADC residents. But I also offer these prices not only for SADC residents, but for why I name it SADC residents, because we get most of our clients from SADC. But of lately, we've been getting clients as far as Nigeria, Kenya. Also offer them the same prices as well, which is 1,300. So let's call it an African price per se. Then you have your international rates, which we obviously offer for international guests coming from abroad. So that's 1,700 Namibian dollars, which is
You can
equivalent
make
to
it two
rand to
thousand,
about.
man. Make it 2,000. They've got
Charge
money.
them, yes. And the experience is different, eh?
Okay. So I think that's cool, Kenneth. But you must remember that the Namibian, one Namibian dollar is equal to one South African rand. So we must also get Namibian price.
Hey, your economy is stronger than ours, man,
Okay. All right. So, Detflay, you said that we should not touch the trees when we are there. Why is that a thing?
Look, these trees are couple of years old. It's over 100 years old, probably 200 years old in those areas. And we're trying to protect the eco, I mean, trying to protect these trees from any harm or any, you find guests that climb on the tree and it might break a branch. You're breaking down a branch of a
Climb.
tree that is very, very old. And what would, the next generation won't have anything to come in view or enjoy as you are enjoying as well. So it is very important for us to protect our environment, and that's part of the biggest areas where clients travel from abroad just to come and look at those beautiful, although they're dead, but they're still amazing, and it's eye-catching and it's beautiful. So why we don't allow clients to touch them or climb on them, it's just to protect them from harm, and to preserve them for the next generation to come and view and also enjoy the spectacular view of these trees in Death Valley.
So Kenneth, one other question. If I want to do more of a cultural experience, where would you suggest I go in Namibia?
All right. We have different cultural experiences in Namibia. We have different areas where you can obviously experience these experiences. When we go to Twelvefontein, you find the Damara Cultural Village. It's the local people that live in that area. If you don't want to travel far, like too deep northwest, where Opuwo is home to our beautiful Himba people, the most indigenous people that are still living in Namibia are called the Himba people. The ones that you see, they don't wear, the ladies don't wear any clothes on top. They wear skin clothes and they have red mud. And, you know, those are the Himba people. If you go to the east of Namibia, you find the Bushman cultural areas where you can, you know, showcase the Bushmans. You find the Tswana. Tswanas are part of Namibians as well, although they come from Botswana. You find the Hero cultural village, which is just central of Namibia. It's around about 25 kilometers just before Chivarongo. Chivarongo is a central town in Namibia. So if you wonder, you know, there's different cultural villages and all over Namibia. So you get to experience everything in Namibia. Yeah.
Okay. So that's also an option for someone who just really just wants to do or infuse a cultural experience.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. We do get tours like that. People want to do cultural tours, although the experience going to Namibia, but they also want to do cultural tours and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah. So one of the places that we went to was, one of the things that we did was a boat cruise. So maybe just share that, what we got to see on that cruise, and because I think it was a nice addition to the itinerary as well.
Yeah. One of our activities or the main activities, one of the main activities in Bullfish Bay or the coastal areas will be a dolphin, or whale boat cruise. We normally start that cruise around about 9 o'clock in the morning, because most of the time we do what we call a combo. A combo is a combination of doing the boat cruise in the morning, and then in the afternoon after 12 or 12:30, when the boats return, you head out to Sandwich Harbour. With the boat cruise, it's a very beautiful experience. You know, you go on a what we call catamaran boats into the Wolfish Bay Bay area of Wolfish Bay. These cruises take you through the Bay Area all the way to where the Pelican Peninsula is, where you find a lighthouse and the second largest seal colony in Namibia. It's also an educational tour as well. You get taught about the marine life around the areas of Wolfish Bay. You'd get taught about how the animals react, like the seals and, you know, mating seasons and all that. You also get come across some dolphins as well. As in your experience, you saw some beautiful dolphins here. You miss the whales. It's not always that you find whales in our oceans, but lately there's been a few whales. So you get taught about the marine life, you know, get to see beautiful marine animals, you know. And on top of that, you get to have a nice meal, oysters on the boat with some bubbly and snacks and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Talking about oysters.
Hey,
we ate those oysters. Those oysters were like the most delicious I have ever tasted.
You guys are my first clients ever that I've seen eating so much oysters as you guys. You know, you guys broke the record of eating oysters.
And we were traveling solo, so we didn't even have, you know, any people to.
Exactly. Okay. Yo, that's what I said. Be careful if you go back home. Don't try that.
Then you're in trouble.
Exactly, okay. Yeah.
So one of the things that people were going crazy about was, it was really more of an accommodation thing. We went to... Where's this place that we went to? When we were going to Sources Play, our base was Kwesi Lodge. They love Kwesi Lodge. Yeah. They also love Skeleton Coast, but we'll talk about Skeleton Coast just now. So Kwesi Dunes Lodge. You would if you were to go and stay there, then you could stay there but still do Sources Play for your day trip and all the activities around Sources Play, right? Mm-hmm. That would be a nice base for that. Yeah. But Skeleton Coast, that's far. Do you ever get people that want to go to Skeleton Coast?
Look, Skeleton Coast has different areas to visit, obviously. You guys went to
Shipwreck Lodge.
Shipwreck Lodge, yeah. You guys went to the Shipwreck Lodge, which is quite a little bit far from Swakopmund, but it's worth the drive. I mean, the beauty in that area, you experience it yourself. It's really worth the drive. For those that don't want to be long on the road, like, a few hours on the road, obviously you can fly in, which is a few minutes or if max an hour from Swakopmund to Skeleton Coast. Skeleton Coast is one of those musty areas in Namibia. You know, you find the shipwrecks along the coastline. You drive past the largest seal colony in Namibia. And it's just a different diversity or diverse landscape from what you see in the south of Namibia coming up the coastal area. Although it's part of the coastal area, you know, you find your Stanwich Harbour experience, which is dunes and dunes. And then you find in the semi-arid areas like in the Skeleton Coast. So yeah, it's worth that trip. It's worth seeing, definitely. It's a different experience from other parts of Namibia. And the lodge itself is a beautiful, magnificent lodge. I mean, I saw your pictures when it's stunning and all that, you know.
So, listen, we had so much fun there. We should have spent a lot more time. So just talking about, so in the south, I'm thinking the south is your Fish River Canyon, which you said are the biggest canyons in
second
Namibia,
largest
right?
canyon in the world, the biggest
in
canyon
the world.
In Africa. Yeah, second from the Grand Canyon, Namibia's Fish River Canyon is the second largest in the world and the largest in Africa.
So now how come we haven't gone to see it?
You guys want to go to Dubai and what you got Dubai next to you?
Yay. I'm telling you, okay. Next trip I must go to Fish River Canyon. So that's in the south. And then in the west, there's the coastal area, and then up north, Skeleton Coast, and so on.
Yeah.
What's in the east? What's there to see in the east?
In the east of Namibia, you find the second desert, which is the Kalahari Desert in Namibia. It's a different landscape again. As I said, Namibia is very diversified when it comes to landscape. There's a few lodges as well in the east of Namibia. You know, a lot of people always want to have both experience of the Namib Desert and the Kalahari Desert. You know, you get to experience more cultural tours in the east of Namibia, like I mentioned earlier, the Tswana cultural tours, you know, the Bushman cultural tours. There's a lot of beautiful lodges to visit, animals to visit. Not to visit, but to view and stuff like that. It's a different vibe from the west. You know, it's all about landscape beauty. And just having that beautiful Namibian experience. Yeah.
I have quite a bit of questions from my listeners. One of the questions was them, one lady asked, what are the requirements to get in or upon arrival? And I guess I can answer this because I experienced it myself.
Definitely. Please do that.
Yeah. We just needed to do a COVID test before coming into Namibia. At first, I thought it was just like 72 hours or something, but I saw like 7 days. I saw something about 7 days. You can do it within 7 days and they accept it. So you have to present that when you land in Namibia. And obviously, you have to complete all those health forms. Mm-hmm. That's it. And then even when you fly back into South Africa, you have to do the test in Namibia and then submit, you know, present that when you get to OR Tambo. So one other thing, Kenneth, that you mentioned to us is that for some of your clients that are, you know, may not be in Swakop or Walvis Bay, you are able to get the mobile, you know, test for them to come and do, for, I don't know, those people to go and do the test where your clients are.
Yeah.
A bit about that.
We did three weeks back, I had a group of 12 guys from Russia. So before they left Namibia, or before they were going to leave Namibia, they had to get tested. But they were just scared that they wouldn't make it on time to get their results back. So there are mobile teams that are doing tests around Namibia. They charge on how far it is from Windhoek, because these guys drive from the capital city to wherever you are. They go to any lodge, they go to any destination around Namibia and get tested. Like my group, we just called and we made arrangements to meet somewhere along the road. And this guy comes with his kit, tests them. We got tested, I think it was 11 o'clock a.m. And the same day, around about 8 o'clock p.m., we got our results. And the next day, we just printed the results out at the lodge where we were staying. And before they head to the airport, they got the results. So it makes it easier for travelers around Namibia. So you don't need to have gray hair about that one.
Definitely. And the good thing about Namibia, well, unless it's peak holiday season, there's not a lot of people where so it's like a natural social distancing country, hey?
Exactly. You know, Namibia has a small population of 2.4 million plus people in a very, very, very big country. So space around Namibia is vast. You've seen traveling around Namibia, you know, going from one town to the other, you travel a few hundred of kilometers before you get to the next town. So that's what makes Namibia unique. You have your freedom of space and just beautiful views of landscapes and beautiful people.
When I was talking to someone else, and I was saying, no, I want luxury, da 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 da. And he was saying, what is luxury to you? He was asking me, what is luxury to you? And he says, because in a Namibian perspective, luxury to us is space, is that we give you space and we give you privacy as well. So there's lots
Exactly.
of space in Namibia. Even the hotels
And
that we stayed at, they were super amazing. They were super big rooms and in all the places that we went to. So there's no space problem there.
100, 100. Namibians, you know, respect a person's privacy and stuff like that. That's why you have international actors like Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. They chose Namibia to come and give birth to their first biological child because of that space and privacy and having their own freedom of movement and all that, you know.
Okay, Kenneth, I don't want to keep you for too long, but I do have some questions. Quick. So
Sure.
someone said, should I hire a car or can one get around with transport services? That is a shuttle. I didn't see an Uber or a Didi or any e-hailing app service. What how do people get around there?
All right. The shuttle services that you get in Namibia would mostly be from from one town to the other town, or from the airport to the main town of like Wolfish Bay, Swakopmund. The best way to explore Namibia would obviously be either you rent a car and you do self-drives, what we call self-drives around Namibia. But that's if you want to have your own space and you don't want to be with the wrong people, just you and your family or friends. Or you can rent, or you can use services like ours. We are a tour company where we pick you up at the airport, we make use of our own vehicles, and we take you around Namibia and tour around Namibia with you. That's something that we do a lot with our tailor-made packages. So yeah, you got your choices. You know, shuttles from like going to remote areas like Sossusvlei, you don't find daily shuttles that much that drive in that area. You will have to cater or get a private shuttle to do that for you. So we always recommend that you can do self-drive tours or you can do tailor-made tours with a guided tour and vehicle, like the one that we did for you guys.
Okay, so there's a question here that says, would you advise to drive or to fly? It's really up to you, right? And whether you want to spend a lot of time on the road or you want to get there quickly.
You know what? If you're coming to Namibia, as a traveler, we have a beautiful country with beautiful landscapes, a lot of things to do. Now, if you fly, you wouldn't see all this beauty now, would you? But when you drive, you would experience nature, you would experience the beauty, you will just digest a lot of beauty after beauty after beauty of landscapes and the diversity of changing landscape. You know, when you're driving for 100 kilometers, what you see before and what you see after 100 kilometers is totally different. You know, you had an experience
Completely.
yourself. It's like, are we still in Namibia or are we still in the same area? You know, but you just drove for 100 kilometers and it wows you every time. You find guys that don't want to be on the road for long. They just want to get to that area, do activities overnight, fly to the next area, do activities. It's everybody has his own choices. But I would always recommend driving. You get to experience the real Namibian culture, the real Namibian diversity of beauty and landscapes that's different and all that, and get to experience different culture and different people, get to know the people around, and just have that local as lekker experience in Namibia.
Yeah. And someone was saying, where's the best airport to land if you want to experience both the desert and the sea? And I'm going to say Walvis Bay.
100%. Yeah, 100%. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, you get flights straight from Joburg to Walvis Bay or from Cape Town to Walvis Bay. And lately, most international flights always connect through via Joburg to Namibia, you know. So it's viable if you just want to have a quick visit of the dunes and the ocean and for a weekend or a short stay. It's definitely Walvis Bay Airport, international
Okay,
airport. Yeah.
awesome. So Windhoek, you can go if you have got meetings there, but other than that, if you really want to be
Yeah,
on a
exactly.
holiday,
Yeah.
go to
Yeah.
Walvis Bay.
Yeah, definitely. Windhoek is always most of the time just a stopover for clients before we head down either north or either down south. But I mean, if you don't have anything else to do in Windhoek, it's best that you land in Walvis Bay and start your route from Walvis Bay, you know.
Okay. So, Kenneth, thank you so much. But how do we book with a Sandwich Dune Tours? How do we
All
book?
right,
Last question.
you guys can book online. You know, we have a website which is www.sandwichdunetours.com.na, or you can find us on our email, which is info@sandwichdunetours.com.na, or you can reach us on our mobile numbers, which is also our WhatsApp numbers. It's +264 81553192.
Okay. Thank you so much. I will put those details on the description so people can get easy access to them so that they don't have to remember. But thank you so much for all your time
Thank
and for
you.
all this valuable information. My people are going to be calling you. They're going to be WhatsApping you. They're going to be emailing you. And all I know
Great
is
stuff.
that I'm going to tell them when they email you, they must tell you that they were referred by Lelo.
Sure.
So that I can secure my free trip.
Definitely. I'm a man of my word, so I keep to my words. No worries about that. Yeah. Thank you very much
Awesome. Thank you so
for.
much, Kenneth. Much
All right, my
appreciated.
dear.
This episode of Chica Travel Podcast was proudly sponsored by Flight Center. Life happens, let's travel. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. We will catch up again next week. But in the meantime, if you listen on Apple, please leave a review and comment. It helps other people find the podcast as well if you do that. So I appreciate that very much. And also you can find us on social media @ChicaTravelPod, #ChicaTravelPod. Until next week, goodbye.